We read the Word of God this morning from Luke chapter 24, Luke chapter 24. The text will be verses 36 through 45, and I will not reread those. We begin to read at verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day, that is, the day of the resurrection, to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a mighty prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. And then what follows is the text. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they were yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Thus far the reading of the holy and divine Scripture. Our text this morning is those verses 36 through 45. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord on Easter Sunday over 2,000 years ago is a matter of faith and not of sight. Here on Easter morning, unmistakably, the Lord Christ Himself proves His own statement that He made concerning the resurrection from the dead, that though one rise from the dead, if they do not believe Moses and the prophets, they will not believe. The resurrection is a matter of faith, not sight. And in order to be saved, a man must believe the gospel of the resurrection from Moses and the prophets. The saving gospel of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is sufficiently revealed therein. And two, that faith by which a man receives the saving revelation of God concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ in Moses and the prophets is a gift of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. That is what becomes abundantly clear here in Easter in this upper room. It is Sunday night. Jesus has already appeared to His disciples multiple times. He had appeared first of all to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils in the garden. He had appeared to the other women. We read here that there was an appearance already to Peter whereby He made Himself known just to Peter. And then He had spent a large portion of that Sunday on a journey with two of His disciples, Cleopas and perhaps his wife, as they went to Emmaus, listening to them recounting the history of the past couple of days. And then He Himself explaining to them the gospel of the cross and resurrection from Moses and the prophets, and finally showing Himself to them. And after He had appeared to them and they had recognized Him, then they rushed back to Jerusalem and they came to this upper room, and as they burst in the door, they find the 11 gathered and with them many other disciples, so that almost the whole church is gathered there in that upper room, and they are all saying one thing: Christ is risen indeed. But they have no idea what that means. None whatsoever. Christ had showed Himself to them by many infallible proofs that He was risen indeed. They saw, and they did not believe. And suddenly now, the Lord Himself appears in the upper room to make Easter understandable to them. And He does so not merely by showing Himself to them, but by opening their understanding that they might understand the Scripture. And so let's consider then this Easter morning, that Easter morning, or evening rather, in the upper room. Let's notice first of all an indisputable fact. Let us notice secondly the fulfillment of Scripture. And let us notice finally causing us to understand. The indisputable fact is Christ's resurrection. And that indisputable fact, Christ revealed to His disciples in a strange meeting. You have to admit the meeting here between Christ and His well-known disciples is very strange indeed. They had walked with him for 3.5 years on the earth. They knew the Lord Christ. They had handled him. They had touched him. They had lain near him. They had been with him all his time on the earthly ministry. And yet, what a strange meeting here in this upper room. On this Sunday night, with all the disciples gathered there, so that not only the 12, but many others are with them. And those two disciples that had been traveling to Emmaus burst into the room. And they all agree that the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared even unto Simon. And now suddenly Jesus stands in the midst, appearing not merely to one or two, but to the whole church now. And they're terrified. What a strange meeting between the risen Lord and His church, that the church is terrified. They're terrified because, first of all, they suppose that they see a spirit, an angel of some sort. But what is clear is that when they see the risen Lord, thinking that they see a spirit, they do not think that they see a man with his body. A spirit has no flesh and bones. A spirit is without that beautiful artwork of God that He made for Adam in the beginning when He called him out of the dust. Examine the appearances of the angels in the Old Testament and you will see they don't have bodies. They can assume a form. Satan could inhabit a snake. The angels that came with the angel of Jehovah appeared to Abraham as men, but they could as quickly disappear with that form. And what that reveals when the Lord appears to them, and they suppose that they see a spirit, what that reveals is they had a very strange conception about the resurrection. The Lord is risen indeed, but a spirit? Either that they supposed that the resurrection was merely a resurrection to a spiritual form, or that the resurrection was a Lord's return to them, to His previous relationship with them. But how different does this strange meeting reveal that the resurrection of Christ is? That it is Christ is indisputable. The Spirit that He had commended into the hand of His Father at the cross and whereby He had appeared at that moment in paradise with the thief and with the whole glorified church, now that Spirit has been reunited with His body that had gone into the ground. And there He stood before them. Flesh and bones, with a structure and a shape. The very same body in which He had been crucified, for He says to them, "See, it is I." And He shows to them the hands that had been printed with the nails and the feet through which they had driven the spike. He had died in that body. That body had gone into the ground, and that body now had been reunited with His soul. And yet they do not believe. Seeing, they do not believe. And so the Lord continues, and He asks for a piece of meat or food. And they give to Him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And He eats before them. Spirits don't eat food. Bodies eat food. And still, they do not believe. Why? Because this resurrected Christ is a very different Christ. That's what He Himself says to them. He says that in verse 44, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you. Do you see that? While I was yet with you. He was with them in a certain way for that 3.5 years upon the earth when he walked with them. And now by the resurrection, he has gone far beyond. It isn't a return. It's a going beyond. So that he can properly say he is no longer with them as he was before. This is the beginning of the going up of Christ Jesus. That he who came down from heaven and went into the lower parts of the earth, he also ascended up far above all heavens that he may fill all things. The resurrection is the beginning. And what a change that resurrection wrought upon Christ Jesus. Just behold the simple facts that he appeared in this room with locked doors. What kind of body is that? And what glory was possessed by the risen Lord so that he terrified his well-known disciples. Gone is the shame. Gone is the veil behind which he hid all of his glory. That glory now radiates through that body. Risen indeed. An indisputable fact. Of that there could be no doubt. But what does that mean? Christ himself tells us. It means this. Peace unto you. The awesome Christ. Powerful, glorious, heavenly. Speaks peace in the resurrection. To his church. Not to terrify them, but to speak peace. That's not simply a greeting. That's the gospel of the resurrection. The resurrection is the other end of the gospel. The gospel that is that series of events that took place in history. That series of events that commenced with the coming of the Son of God in human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The gospel that transpired when the Son of God lived for 33 years in that land of Judea and he walked among men. That gospel, the culmination of which was the cross, that gospel now becomes clear. That gospel now has been fulfilled. Wasn't it the cross that was the trouble for the disciples? Those two on the road to Emmaus, those two on the road to Emmaus had to say that, but they said, it was he who we thought would be the Savior of Israel. They couldn't explain the cross. That he had died. That as far as a man is concerned, death is the end. But now he is risen. And that says something about his cross. The resurrection is the event that explains all those other events. It explains his incarnation. It explains his lifelong suffering. It explains his death upon the cross. And it means this, that by means of his coming and by means of that death upon his cross, he brought peace. He brought peace because at that cross he overcame sin, which was the cause of our war and our enmity with God and of our death. He brought peace to life because by that cross he paid for those sins and earned perfect righteousness. The cross was the instrument whereby he was delivered over unto death, and the resurrection is the event that declares that that cross was powerful to accomplish peace. Peace, he says, unto you. He doesn't say peace to all men generally. The gospel of the resurrection is for his elect church. That gospel of the resurrection will go into all the world. That gospel of the resurrection will go wherever God in his good pleasure sends that gospel of the resurrection, to every tribe, tongue, and nation under heaven. It must go, but that gospel of the resurrection is not for all men. It's for his church. Peace to you. The resurrection is the testimony from God for his church that God has established peace between himself and his people. Not that God was ever at war with his people, but that his people were at war with God. By nature in Adam, in their fall into sin, and by the just judgment of God upon that sin, the whole human race, us included, the church of God included, was brought into warfare with God. They hated God and hated the neighbor. And the resurrection is the declaration now that there is peace between God and his people. On the basis of the cross of Christ Jesus, on the basis of his shed blood. And peace unto you. So that the church actually comes into the possession of that peace. Oh, how they needed to hear that. From a purely formal point of view, they were terrified at his appearance. They had to hear peace. Besides that, they had to hear peace because they had forsaken him. They had fled from him. They had denied him. And he comes to them on Easter Sunday morning, evening, in the upper room. And he explains that his resurrection, the indisputable fact, which none could deny for they are all eyewitnesses of it, means this, that there is peace now between the triune God and his church in Christ Jesus. And that gospel that he spoke unto them there in the upper room, that gospel Christ describes as the fulfillment. These things, these are the words which I spake unto you. These refers to all those events. Refers to the event of the coming of Christ and all his teaching and the cross and now the resurrection. These are the things that I spoke unto you, and these all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. When Christ says there that this is contained in the law of Moses and in the prophets and the Psalms, Christ is referring to Scripture. That was the only Scripture that they had, Moses and the Psalms and the prophets. That's the great threefold division of the Old Testament. And that Old Testament Scripture, which Christ describes as Moses and as the prophets and as the Psalms, Christ says that Scripture had one message. It concerned Him. So He says, concerning me, And he took Moses, and he took the Psalms, and he took the prophets. And as he did to the travelers to Emmaus, he explained them. He explained them by showing them himself in them. What passages do you suppose he pointed to? The law itself? The law itself, which explained the perfect requirement of the justice of God, that the man who does these things shall live in them? A requirement that shuts out salvation apart from the cross of Christ Jesus because it requires perfection. A requirement that only He can fulfill. Do you suppose He pointed to Job? Job's wonderful declaration in the midst of his suffering, I know that my Redeemer liveth. At the latter day I shall stand upon the earth. And though worms destroy this body, I will see him with my own eyes. Or perhaps David's lovely prophecy of the resurrection, of the suffering and the resurrection of Christ Jesus in Psalm 22, that same man who was cried out that he was forsaken of God, now at the end of the psalm, God turns to him and he lives. Or David's very clear prophecy of the resurrection of Christ Jesus in Psalm 16. Or Jonah's being vomited out by the whale upon dry ground, about which Jesus himself said that it was a sign of his own resurrection. Or maybe he went all the way back to Genesis 3 verse 15. I will send the seed of the woman, and the seed of the woman will crush the head of that serpent. To Egypt. And the death of all the firstborn, whereby Israel was delivered. Or he finally explained to them the purpose of all those thousands and thousands and thousands of bulls and goats and their shed blood. He explained to them the Scripture. And he explained to them that the Scripture taught about him. If Scripture is explained apart from the gospel, apart from the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then that Scripture has been abused and misused. The Scripture has fundamentally one single content. That Christ must suffer and enter into His glory. And that Scripture, about that Scripture, which reveals Christ Jesus suffering and His entering into His glory, Christ says that that's fulfilled. He means that that Scripture that reveals Christ and His suffering and His entrance into His glory is not merely information, but it's a promise. That's what the word fulfilled teach. It's a promise. It is a promise from the triune God concerning what He will do in Christ Jesus for the salvation of His people, for the glory of His own name. The whole Scripture, from beginning to end, for surely, if the Old Testament, in its threefold division, that means in all its parts, if the Old Testament spoke nothing concerning, nothing but about Christ, and that Old Testament was a promise from God, surely that applies to all the Scripture, Old and New Testament. The whole Scripture is nothing but the revelation of what God will do. It's not the revelation of what man must do, it's what revelation of what God will do for us and for our salvation. And Christ says now about his death and his resurrection, these things, these words, he said it fulfilled the Scripture. That's the gospel of the resurrection. The gospel of the resurrection is that when God raised up Christ from the dead, God gave notice that every single promise that he spoke in the entire Bible had been fulfilled. It was all yea and amen in Christ Jesus. That promise, that notice that God gave when he raised up Christ from the dead, that he had fulfilled the Scripture, meant that he had done everything necessary for the salvation of his people. That's why Jesus says, peace to us. You understand, if Christ comes to us and Christ says to us, God did everything that was necessary, but you have to accept that. If Christ comes to us and Christ says to us, God did everything necessary, but you have to remain faithful. Christ comes to us and Christ comes to us and says, God did everything, and now open up your heart to Jesus Christ and let him in. There is no peace. That means there's something left undone. And if there's something left undone for man's salvation, then man perishes in his sin. And it's that gospel of the resurrection that God has accomplished all his promises, that he has accomplished all of salvation, that the righteousness that is necessary for salvation, the holiness that is necessary to live and to fellowship with God, the eternal life that is the inheritance of the church, promised by God to the church, that has all been fulfilled. When Christ comes and explains that, his great work is to cause us to understand. That's the great work of the risen Christ. His great work on Easter isn't to bring joy and wonderment merely. Notice that. Well, they yet believe not for joy and wonder. Their joy and wonder got in the way of their faith. The great work of Christ is not merely to bring joy and wonder. It's to bring understanding. It's to bring understanding of the Scripture. And it's to bring the understanding of Scripture so that a man and a church sees in the Scripture Christ Jesus. That's his great work. He did that there. That's what it says. He opened their understanding. That's the power now of the risen Christ. His power is to come and to open the understanding of his people. Apart from that work of Christ, Christ himself could appear in the flesh and stand on this pulpit. And he could show you the hands with the nail print in it and the feet with the spike print in it. And he could eat in front of you and you and I wouldn't believe. Because the resurrection is not a matter of sight. It's a matter of faith. And that faith comes, that faith is given when Christ opens the understanding. And he opens that understanding in connection with Scripture. That's the great work of the risen Christ. Not to appear now in His church personally, bodily, and visibly, but to come to His church very really and to explain to them the Scripture concerning Himself and to open their understanding. Preaching of the gospel. By the church is the great work of the risen Christ. From that point of view, we don't celebrate Easter merely on Easter Sunday. We celebrate Easter every single Sunday when we come and we hear the Word. And in the hearing of that Word, our understanding is opened by Christ Jesus. So that in the hearing of that Word, we understand that Word and how that Word teaches us concerning Christ. That means when we hear the Word and we understand Christ had come. That means when we hear the Word and we understand Christ has operated in our hearts. Because apart from that, we don't. And apart from that work of Christ, you understand, the Scripture too remains without power. Those disciples were not ignorant about the Scripture. They were well trained. They may have been unlettered, but they knew the Bible. Just as the scribes and the Pharisees knew the Bible backwards and forwards. But the Bible is a dead letter. Apart from the saving activity of the living Lord to open a man or a woman or a child's understanding so that they receive the Scripture. Go around and hand Bibles out all you want. Bibles don't do anything. Not by themselves. It's a dead letter. Apart from the Spirit who gives it life. And that Spirit that gives it life is the Spirit of a living Lord. And the life that He gives comes through the understanding that He opens. Natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit. Not even you and I as the disciples, who were not unbelievers, as we say. They were believers. They believed in Jesus. That you and I, as we come to church, every single Sunday, we must have our understanding opened by the risen Christ. And you understand then, too, the great honoring of the resurrection by the church, what that entails. The church that doesn't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ denies the resurrection. That is the honoring of the resurrection by the church. Preaches gospel, preaches truth. And two, for the believer. The believer honors the resurrection of Christ Jesus when the believer comes and hears the preaching of the gospel. When he desires that his understanding be opened by Christ so that he understand from the preaching Christ Jesus and Him crucified and raised and the great hope that He gives us and our salvation. By that he honors the resurrection of Christ Jesus. And in that activity, by means of that activity, the risen Christ is still pleased, for He lives now, to come to His church and to speak peace to her, to cause her to know her salvation by means of His shed blood, to cause her to know the life-giving power of His cross, to cause her to hope in the resurrection It only happens when Christ Himself comes and stands in the midst and says peace unto us and opens our understanding. So that Easter isn't just that event that happens in an upper room. Easter is the event that happens every time the gospel is preached. And every time the gospel is preached, we rejoice as the disciples did in a living Lord and His living knowledge and His opening of our understanding. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the resurrection of Christ and its testimony that there is peace with Thee for all who believe. We thank Thee for the activity of the risen Christ to come unto us, to speak unto us, and in that speaking to open our understanding. Lord, ever cause us to understand the Scripture, that not merely seeing we may believe, but not seeing, we may believe all the things spoken concerning Him in the Scripture. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let's conclude our worship by singing Psalter number 309. 309. Let's sing the four stanzas of 309.